First of all, we want to welcome everybody to our Siyum of Sefer Bereishis. Mazel tov to everybody. This Siyum, as you know, is for our learning Sefer Bereishis over the past 4.5 years. Of course, we could not have done it alone. It's all of us together that we have completed Sefer Bereishis. Now, it's been 4.5 years, which sounds like a really, really, really long time. But my son Moshe made the calculation that since it's 1 hour per week, that it really comes out to 2 days.
Ten days total. Learning nonstop.
If you learn nonstop for 10 days, 24 hours straight, and you get the 4.5 years. We thank everybody who has contributed to this Siyum. Many of you helped out either financially or with actually purchasing things and bringing things for the Siyum, and we really, really appreciate it. And, of course, Esther and the girls did a great job in preparing the Siyum. And the boys, excuse me. What did Ephraim do this morning?
Ephraim helped clean up the toys.
I cleaned up the toys. Okay, great. As you see your menu in front of you, the Bereishis Siyum menu has different questions to rhyme with all of the different courses that we're having, and I don't know how many of these everybody knows the answers to, and perhaps as we move along we'll try to give the answers. I have to confess I don't know the answer to the first one, about the marinated peaches and strawberry sauce. The sauce collects in the peaches well. Of how many of these does the Torah tell? How many wells are there in Sefer Bereishis? There's a lot of wells in Sefer Bereishis, as you know, starting with Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all kinds of wells. And then, of course, with Yosef.
Avraham.
Well, with Yitzchak, when he did the wells. With Avraham, you have Hagar as well.
Oh, we didn't see that one. That is funny.
And there's another one also. You have two with Hagar.
Two hundred.
There's what? No, the pit doesn't, because it says there's no water in it. But anyway, Moshe,
go on. It's dried up.
Huh?
It's a dried up one.
Maybe.
Why else would there be a pit? Wait, but how do you get somebody
to pit?
Okay, Moshe will tell us how. Moshe counted 19, but he missed the ones we just said now.
Okay, you have...
Loud.
You have one with Yitzchak, when Eliezer with Rivka, another one with Yaakov and Rachel. You have seven, the ones that Avram dug in Shechem, and when Yitzchak came to Shechem, he dug three more and redug the seven that Avram did. That's 7, 7, 14, 3, that makes 17, and two more, that makes 19. That's all the ones that we had.
What is that?
That one's non-Bereishis. That one's
non-Bereishis.
Okay. Two by Hagar now, and one by Yosef.
I mean, one by Yosef, I don't think it counts as a one.
Oh, it was all
like
that, so it wasn't really well.
Fine. He double counted them. I think he counted them as one.
Four.
I think so.
What? Because they were filled up and then redug.
He counted it twice because they were redug.
He counted it twice.
Okay. Yeah,
it told again.
Yeah. Right now we'll also cover the next course, which is lentil soup, which everybody should know off the bat. An easy one for this gracious group. Who served whom this red round soup?
Yaakov
served Esav. And who was it really intended for?
Yitzchak.
It was intended for Yitzchak because of the death of Avram. So now he was mourning Avram's death. Now we also want to mention that I mentioned to some of you before that the Lishkops were planning on coming tonight, but unfortunately they could not come because Dottie is not feeling well. But they also contributed to the Siyum, and we appreciate their help as well. Now everybody was asked to think about their favorite moment in Sefer Bereishis, and we are going to be going around to anybody who wants to. Nobody has to do this, but anybody who wants to is welcome to say what their favorite part of Bereishis is. If you want to be recorded forever and ever and ever, then you may. Otherwise, we don't have to do this. So, but right now we'll serve the next course, and as soon as the next course is served and people have a chance to eat a little bit, then we will begin going around with everybody's favorite Dvar Torah from Bereishis. So please enjoy your seal. We are now ready to begin our short Dvar Torah. Everybody has something to say. Before I do that, I have to tell you that I was talking today to Dr. Aaron Feldman on the phone, and I mentioned about the seum and how one of the courses was lentil soup. And he asked me, are we serving it with spoons? Because if you remember how Esav ate the soup, so he wanted to know, are we just pouring it down everybody's throat, or are we actually eating it with spoons? Our leadoff batter is Bert Wittenberg. He's the brave one who's going to start us off. Please remember to keep it short because we have a lot of people who want to talk and we are interested in hearing everybody's Dvar Torah. So here is the quarter.
Thank you.
Right here in your pocket.
Thank you.
Here we
go. Go ahead.
Anyhow, when I started going to the class, it was not one of the many classes I have attended. It's one of the few classes I've attended because my background is not from. It's pretty unfrum. But I've been learning, and if I don't know if you noticed or not, I noticed that I've been very quiet in the class because I have a lot to learn. So it's good to be quiet when you're learning, and you have to know enough to ask questions. But what I'm impressed with, I don't know if it impressed is the right word or not, but what I've the whole thing has been pretty mind-boggling to me, but the commitment of our forefathers was incredible. You know, I asked the rabbi when I came in tonight was, because I wanted to make sure of my facts, Abraham acknowledged God before God acknowledged Abraham. But other than that, God spoke to all of our forefathers, and they listened, and they were committed. And they didn't question, or if they questioned, they did. And the whole aspect of people doing that with perfect trust and perfect love has been impressive for me, and a learning experience for me. So that's it.
Doreen Wittenberg is our next speaker.
Well,
you can just hold on to it.
Okay. I'm sorry Linda didn't get recorded because to follow on to that, everything that used to be a Bible story for me took on a new reality. And I started, when I go back and I do listen to some of the parts, thanks to Yisrael Killian, thank you so much. Yay. But then I fall into one of my not-so-wonderful mitos of shoulda, coulda, woulda, and what if. And what if, when they were building that solid tree, and because I really like the way you explained that, Rabbi, you know, everything could have been different, but it wasn't. And sometimes I get stuck on that. But it wasn't, and the rest is up to us to build on what the tree that we have and solidify that. And it's so exciting because I feel that coming from where I'm coming from, everything is wonderful in the Jewish world. I don't see us losing in any way. And my husband called me last night from the Seum with our six-year-old grandson saying, Doreen, there are hundreds of kids here. And it was so exciting. You know, and then I see the wonderful girls at Tamim, and that's all part of this. So I see us as building, and I thank you so much for what you, how you've brought it to me.
Thank you. I have to say that I always find that when it's not as you were saying that for them it wasn't a solid tree, it could have been better. But now we know that we don't have to be perfect either. We can also succeed. Okay, can we have another? Well, let's do a few more before we serve the next course. You want to do it? Okay.
It's a short word.
Okay. Recorded or not? Yeah, recorded?
Yeah.
We prefer it. Okay, so we have Hi Dutch.
All right. There's two things that really stood out. And one of the things was that when
Yaakov met Yosef, what stands out is not what he said, but what wasn't said. And the silence is overpowering. You read the whole parsha, and between the time that they met after 22 years until Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha, you don't, like, the Shvatim didn't say anything, Yaakov didn't say anything. You wonder, did they live with this silence? Is that how it was? That's just what I was thinking. The only other thing that I really mentioned is that I was so impressed by Yosef. He was in jail, and he says to the butler and to the baker, why are you so downcast? And the reason it strikes me is because he could have just sunk into depression or been morose about his situation. He's in a pit, you know? But he does take an interest in his fellow man despite everything that's happening to him. And I just thought that was very nice of him. I don't know how else to express it. That's all. Okay.
Okay, Mrs. Kaiser.
First off, I want to thank Rabbi Mrs. Pransky for opening their home with this wonderful meal for us to celebrate our CM. And I was going, as my husband told Rabbi Pransky, through my notes from 4 years of class, and couldn't find anything that particularly caught my eye, so I wanted to culminate the entire 4 years in a few words. But I must tell you that I took some of it from Rabbi Yechezkel Freundlich's shiur for his Hanukkah. So when you get to the Yechezkel and the Daniel, it kind of culminates the whole thing. Way back in the beginning, the date was October 29th, 2006. I was not there. Rabbi Pransky began a class called Creation. We learn in Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, the Haaretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Pnei Sahom, and the land was desolate and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Our sages teach from this pasuk about the darknesses that the Jewish people will face in Galus. Sohu, desolate, refers to Galus Babel, when Yechezkel and Daniel and many others were exiled. The Vohu, void, refers to Galus Madai, the Purim story. The Choshech, darkness, refers to Galus Yavan, the Hanukkah story. Sahom, the deep, refers to the Galus Edom, the Roman exile of today. We are about to join our people on a journey of Galus Mitzrayim as we begin to study Shemos. We have been through many exiles and survived them all. May Hashem lift us from the deep of our present exile, as he did for our ancestors so many times before.
Harry Fairman.
Well, one of the striking things about doing this, I've never really done on a continual basis. I've never stuck to, that I can remember, for such a long time on a continual basis, doing studying the Torah. And each class was so fascinating. Thanks to Rabbi Pransky and his incredible learning and teaching ways, his gave me permission to ask a million questions, which I'm sure you all noticed. Have you noticed that? Well, and he allowed me to ask them and to learn from them. And there were so many wonderful things about learning from the Torah, and so many wonderful things to learn about us as a people, and about human nature, and how all of us, it's not, you know, all of Abraham's challenges, Yaakov, the story, the complex story between Esav and Yaakov, and how hard it was, you know, in their family. I mean, and we look at today, there's a lot of strife in families. So even in our ancestors, Yaakov and Esav had tremendous strife. You know, one wanted to kill the other. How much terrible can that be in a family? So, but in our Torah, we're not, you know, Hashem said, write it down. So we're a people that really deals with truth, and we're not afraid to admit it. that there's trouble in our homes and we have to fix it, or we need to deal with it, and we need to separate from those people that are really hurting us. So there were just so many wonderful things I've learned. And 4 years, I can't believe, but each class was exciting and fascinating. And, you know, with each class, I think I've learned to really treasure more and more being a Jew. Just like there's such magic to it. You know, it's, and you know, Rabbi Feldman has said to us several times, he says, "You are not a normal people." He says, "You're in the difference between the spiritual, this world, and the spiritual world. We're not like a normal people." I'm sorry. So anyway, I had a wonderful class. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Esther is saying that we must wish a mazel tov to Dr. Shanna Gross for the birth of her baby boy last Shabbos. Do we know the name?
Yeah, they emailed. David something.
Okay, that's a great name. Should we do another one now? Another couple?
Wait, so is it?
Okay.
Yeah. We all have to yell mazel tov all at once.
Okay, one, two, three.
Mazel tov, Shanna!
So before we call up our next speaker, we'll go through the entree. We have chicken stir fry, cut up chicken, not in this pack. Avram kept his birds intact. And which pact are we talking about? The bris ben avistarim, the covenant between the halves. The animals were cut in half, but not the bird. The rice pilaf, two types of grain to be had. Who dreamed of grain, both good and bad? Okay, Paro had good and bad grain. Who had another dream with grain?
Yosef.
Okay, but that was not good and bad. It was all good. Oriental green beans. I wondered what the Oriental had to do with Bracious, but here the grass was lush and green, but the people sinful and so mean.
Sodom.
Okay, very good.
How do we know it was lush and green?
Yeah, well, it says it was. He looked at the kikar hayadin kichlo mashke. It was all.
That's right.
Pineapple muffin. Round and yellow like the sun, it seems, that appeared in one of this man's dreams. Okay, Yosef's dream. Of course, I don't think he ever went to Hawaii and saw pineapple, but... And tomato cobbler, which is in the pan in the middle of the table. Would you call these crumbs speckled or spotted? Who had sheep both striped and dotted? Yosef. Okay. And that's our reference here to Dottie Lishkoff. Striped and dotted. Okay. Very good. Esther and the girls. Okay, so if we can have someone who has, I don't want to take anybody who's still eating, if someone has completed their entree. Okay, we have Mrs. Starkman who is ready.
First, I want to wish yesher koach to the whole group for sticking it out for so many years, and to thank Roy Pransky and Esther and all the children involved for making the meal so yummy. And for Yisrael, and we have to express our karas hatov to Yisrael Killian. So for those of us who missed classes because of being out of town or illness, he's doing such a great job that we can catch up on the colorsatlanta.com. So it's wonderful. Thank you so much. First of all, it's been a wonderful journey with all of you. It's brought tremendous achdus to all of us. It's brought us closer together, and this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes that. Hashem likes when we come together in achdus to learn Torah. His Shechina rests upon us. And we also are blessed to have someone with the Chachma Bina, Rabbi Pransky, Tana Chacham, who can teach us Torah. And we have tremendous hakaras hatov to Rabbi Pransky for allowing us to learn with you. I want to glean something new, so I was checking Torah.org today. So it says that it's interesting to note that Sefer Chinuch, which chronicles all the mitzvahs of the Torah, says that there were only three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. Procreation, bris milah, and not eating from the Gid HaNasheh, which is eating that part of the sciatic sinu, because that's what Yaakov was hurt when he was fighting with the angel, Esau's angel, and he was hurt. These three mitzvahs in Bereishis, the Sefer Chinuch says, parallels to our three others. Procreation parallels Avraham Avinu, the pillar of chesed, since it's mitzvah simul tachnasis orchim, bring guests into Hashem's world and caring for them. Bris milah parallels Yitzchak Avinu, the pillar of avoda, since bris milah is a symbol on our body that we are ready to serve Hashem. And Yitzchak was also the first child in history to have his bris on the eighth day of his life. And Gid HaNashe parallels Yaakov, which Shmida was Emes, or Torah, since the Gid HaNashe is in the sky, which is the support of the body corresponding to Torah, which is one of the pillars that support the universe. The other thing I want to say is in the last portion, Sefer Bereishis, is Vayichi. And Vayichi, it says, means, and he lived. So, but in the parsha we read about Yaakov and Yosef's death, so why would he be called Vayichi and he lived? And why? And then it's only the first word of the parsha. So it teaches us a dictum that says in the Talmud, I don't have it in Hebrew, but comes from Brachas, Tzadikim even in death are called living, whereas the evil, the Rasham, even while living are called dead. And the only other thing I want to say is that we've gone through a tremendous journey from Bereishis, where Hashem gives us the world, and the first Rashi, which Eretz Yisrael belongs to Jews from eternity. We learn about the Aravos and Imos, the 12 tribes, and we know that they have implanted within us the DNA, that we have it within ourselves to overcome any obstacle, to learn Torah, to serve Hashem, to overcome our evil inclination, and to try to work on ourselves to bring Hashem into this world, and to, we should be a light into the nations. It's in our DNA, and we can continue, and with our Pransky's help, we can continue to grow and to give much nachas to HaKadosh Baruch our Father.
Amen. Robert Judah.
Just following up with what everybody else has been saying, how fantastic a journey it has been these 4.5 years. And when you mention 4.5 years, I say, wow, it doesn't seem like it's been 4.5 years. Maybe longer than 10 days, but yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. And I'm reminded of what Rabbi Polansky mentioned about Yaakov when he had to work for Laban. And it was for 7 years. And 7 years seems like a long time. But then he says that it actually felt like only a couple of days. Even his mother mentioned that you're going to work for, right, for only a couple of days. So what does this mean? It means when you work or you do anything and it seems like time is going by quickly, like this class has, it seems you're actually accomplishing something. That only when you're stuck in a rut that it seems like the time is going farther and farther out. So we have definitely accomplished something with this class. I know I have, and I think everybody else in this room has as well. So thank you, Rabbi Polansky, for all you've given us. I really appreciate it.
Now we have Yisrael Killian. I want to remind those listening online that you have Yisrael to thank for listening, being able to listen online.
Okay, I know we've all expressed our karasatov to so many people who've contributed to make this whole class possible. But there's one person who's been very silent and very quiet. But you, everyone in this room knows very well, and everybody listening online knows very well, that none of this would have happened had it not been for the Rebbetzin.
Yeah.
So we truly, truly give her. And I know the rabbi also expresses his own Hakar Zatov to his Rebbetzin, because for taking care of the children and allowing him to go out and to learn. Now, my thing that I would like to say really applies to the Talmud Chacham, to Rabbi Polansky, and he wouldn't be where he's at today. We all know this is true. All humility aside, he wouldn't be where he's at today had it not been for his Rebbetzin. So it's a team effort. So for those of you who know me, I'm very much fascinated and enthralled with David HaMelech. And I've learned so much from the Talmud Chacham, and I literally owe my life to the Talmud Chacham. And the one, there's so many things I could say about Bereishis, but the one thing that stands out to me more than anything is a phrase that often goes completely unnoticed. Let me just build up a little bit to this phrase. Rus was from Moab. And it says in the Torah that no one from the nation of Moab is allowed to join Klal Yisrael because they didn't come out and greet you with bread and water. So the question is, since Ruth came from this prohibited nation, how then was Boaz allowed to marry her? Well, the sages say that this decree against Moab didn't apply to the females from Moab, only to the males. Why? Because the Torah specifically gave us the reason why they were prohibited. Because they didn't come out and greet you with bread and water. That's why they weren't permitted to marry into the nation. So the sages say that it's not sneeze for a female, for a woman to go out and greet strangers. Therefore, this decree against Moab didn't apply to the females, but only to the males. So then we ask the question, well, since Chazal always have a source, they don't make these things up. So what's the source to say that it's not sneeze for a woman to greet strangers? And the answer is in our Sefer, in Sefer Bereishis. In Parshas Vayera, when Avraham has his bris, there were three malachim who came, right? One was there for Rafua, to heal from the bris. Another angel was there to tell Avraham and Sarah the good news, they're going to have a son, Yitzhak. But the third malach, what was his job? His job was to destroy Sodom. Well, if you only have one mission, and your mission is in Sodom, Sodom's that way. Why are you socializing at the Seuda? Get to work. I'm not paying you to sit around. And another question. These three complete strangers show up at Avram's house, and the first question they ask is, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. Where is Sarah, your wife? Think about it for 30 seconds. Three strange men show up at your house and say, where's your wife? You know, you clock them. It's none of your business. You know, there's the door, guys. You just crossed the line. But Avraham's not offended by the question. Oh, Sarah, hinei ba'ohel. She's in the tent. So two questions. Why is the angel there? And why are they asking about his wife? It's none of your business. The answer is because they had a shaila. They had a halakhic question. What's the shaila? The shaila was, should we save Lot? Well, why is it a question? Well, because out of Lot's loins is going to come Moab and Rus and David. But if Ruth is not going to be accepted, why do we need to save Lot? We need to know, should we save Lot? Well, what's that dependent on? It depends. Is Ruth going to be accepted or not? Well, what's that dependent on? It depends. Are the females from Moab high of degree strangers? Well, how do we know that? Well, we go to the Gadol Hador and ask for a Pesach Din. We ask for a halakhic ruling. So they come to Avraham Avinu very subtly as strangers, as guests. He brings them food and water, and they say, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. Where is Sarah, your wife? This was not a social question. This was a question that has profound ramifications on the entire world. They wanted to know, what is the way of a woman? Should we save Lot? Is Ruth going to be accepted? And what does Avraham say? Hinei b'hoel. Behold, she's in the tent. Go save Lot. Ruth is legitimate, and David is legitimate. What do we learn from this? David's entire legitimacy is traced to the snua of Sarah Imenu. That's the greatness of snias. And we only know that David is kosher is because the woman was a snua, like the Rebbetzin, and because the Chachamim brought it out. That's why the words are there, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha. Had the Chachamim not taught us why those words were there, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, we would have missed it. So it's a partnership. The woman being fulfilling her role in the home, and the husband and the sons learning in the Beis Midrash, together they bring Mashiach.
Excellent. I never tire of hearing that one.
What time is it?
You can start giving them. Josh, you want to say something?
Josh Sutton. So first of all, I want to thank everyone who in the class who actually shows up week after week because of you guys. Because of you guys, this class continues and goes on every day, and Rabbi Pransky gives it to us. And on top of that, thank you, Rabbi Pransky, for the time and the Torah wealth that you give us through the classes every week. And to start off, one of the many fascinating things I've learned in this class goes way back towards the back in Bereishis when he talked about the whole concept of the what do you call it, the tree of Eitzadas and Eitzachayim. Now, one thing I didn't know is that when he told us that, he learned from his rabbi, Yaakov Weinberg, that's all, is that really they're one and the same tree. And if you think about it, it really makes sense because in order to fix something that's wrong, you really have to go back to the source, the root, pardon the pun. And that's basically, I think, the essence of our existence is basically following Hashem's command. And if we mess up, the only way to fix it is to go back to source and do that. And on top of that, I really think that Rabbi Pransky done a wonderful job giving over so much Torah to us. And I go to a lot of Rabbi Pransky's share, whether it's a Shulchan Aruch share or even his Shabbat and Shuvahs and Yar Kalas. I'm a big fan of his. This class that he gives on the Parsha, or the Chumash, is, I think, by far my favorite, and I get the most out of it. And I really want to thank you for all the time and Torah that you give over to us.
It's one of my favorites, too. Okay.
Jay Starkman.
Rabbi Pransky, thank you so much for these past 4 years, for taking my wife and give her a wonderful evening to learn, and to give me a free evening with to do what I want to do.
Take my wife, please.
No, and you are going to be starting something else soon, right? Right. So shmos. Well, I can't wait for you to make it as interesting for Sefer Vayikra that I might come to. And also thank you so much, Rebbetzin Pransky, for this wonderful dinner. This is a finer dinner than I've had at many simchas. And the Sefer Bereishis is so popular because it is one of the most accessible. It is one that the reading is easy, whether you're reading it in Hebrew or in any other language. But reading it in Hebrew, it has those vitamins that only come with Hebrew. You cannot translate it. I have a Yiddish Tanakh, and it starts out the translation in Unhaib hat Gott bashaf the Himmel und der Erd. It doesn't flow. It just misses something. And everybody has a reason to be reminded of Bereishis. At least once a week, they have a 3 hours discussing Bereishis on WGST in the evening when they talk about the Nephilim on the Coast to Coast program, the aliens that fell to Earth. But we have so many wonderful sayings in the Bereishis, and so many wonderful points of reference in Bereishis. But in particular, as a CPA, it appeals to me very much, because we have the story of Yosef, and Yosef, we know that the butler went to Pharaoh out of fear that he might be known, that he knew somebody who could interpret Pharaoh's speech, not because he was trying to remember Yosef and praise him. And he says, well, I got this felon, and he's a convict, and he's sitting in a prison, and he's an Ivri of all, on top of that. A good resume. But he can translate a dream. He can interpret a dream. And some people explain that after Yosef interprets the dream to show God's miracle, Paro says, what a wonderful person we have here. Who better to appoint to oversee this difficult period that Mitzrayim is going to be going through? And I've pointed out to people, what was Paro appointing Yosef to be? A tax collector. And why did he appoint Yosef? Well, if he appointed anyone in his court, these guys might steal from him. But Yosef, hey, back to the dungeon with you. You owe your allegiance to me. Nobody else knows you or cares about you, especially not this butler here who left you there for another 2 years. So it has an appeal to everyone, whether you just read it and study it, whether you listen to alien programs, or whether you happen to be a tax accountant like me. And Rabbi Pransky, thank you very much for having all these classes. For giving my wife she appreciates it so much that if she should miss a class, she is sure to listen to it, pick it up on the internet, and listen to the program to make sure she catches up on all the classes. She has not missed one.
Thank you, Jay. Now we know that when your wife gets upset with you, it's down to the dungeon with you. And Levy, do you want to say something? Okay, so we have Levy Grazer, who is one of our online listeners.
First, a thank you to Rabbi and Mrs. Pransky, of course, for this class and all of you who come. I know most of you have not met any of you in the class because my wife and I listen online, but we've learned a lot. All the way at the beginning, I started reviewing recently, so one of the lessons Rabbi Pransky taught us is that Hashem has a master plan, and we can choose by our actions to either be part of the plan or not, but the plan's going to happen whether we jump on board or not. And Rabbi Pransky showed us how the different generations didn't live up to the plan, and eventually Avram Avinu and Sarah jumped on board, and we come from them. Correlated with that is a lesson that whatever a person does really has significance. These people way at the beginning, whatever they did had major significance. They were jumping on board, being part of Hashem's plan or not. And similarly, as we went through each week's lesson, we learned that every word in the Chumash, every word in the Rashi, has significance. And the beautiful lessons that we were taught from a nuance here, a nuance there, and it also teaches us that everything that we do has significance. Everything we can, in our own lives, we're not the Avos, we're not our patriarchs or matriarchs, but everything that we do, we're either jumping on board to be part of Hashem's plan or not. Hashem's plan happens, and it's really our privilege to be part of Hashem's plan. It's really up to our choices that we make, and this is one of the lessons that I took from Bereishis. Particularly, one example was with Shechem, how Shechem, going after Dinah, was not that he was just interested in her, he was trying to actually become one of the tribes. It was a premeditated decision that he made, that he wanted to become part of the tribes. That we learned, that was taught to us from nuances in the text, and his action, he was trying to do something. He almost succeeded in becoming one of the tribes. So the little lesson I take away is that we can, as I said, choose to be part of Hashem's plan or not, but the plan happens no matter what.